A friend has perhaps given you a QR code that links to this recording, or perhaps you've navigated to this recording on our church website. I'm glad you are interested in spiritual things and that you want to learn more about what God says. Don't believe something because I say it, or any other man says it. Only believe it when you can read it in the Bible. I hope you will profit from this short study, and when you have time, read the passages for yourself.
We live in a very hectic social climate. Families tend to have very little time for each other. Parents often feel like bus drivers. Collapsing into the bed at night is perhaps more common than not. The evening at home, with nothing that we have to get accomplished, is often rare. We're busy people. And because of some of this busyness, relationships often suffer. Tempers are short. Patience is thin. We see some problems, but we don't really do anything about them. And even if we admit to the other person we need to make some changes, we often seldom know how to bring about those life-altering kind of changes in those relationships. As a result, many people in the world, and I believe many people even in the Lord's church, are not at peace. There's a dark cloud within them that seems to storm up at just the hint of a problem. The lack of peace leads to depression and despair and anger and frustration and sin. Consider what is said in this first reading in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 17 is a quote from Isaiah 57 and verse 19. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Paul is teaching about two groups of people in this text: the Gentiles, called the uncircumcision, and the Jews, called the circumcised. The Gentiles had no relationship with God under the Mosaical covenant, whereas the Israelites did. And this served to divide them into two groups. God is the one who set up that boundary when He chose the Israelites from all the other nations, saying, "You will be my people and I shall be your God." And He told them not to have any marriages with people of other nations. He separated them as a people. Jesus came preaching peace to both groups. His message was about being at peace with God as a Jew or a Gentile. Verse 16 of this text says that we can be reconciled to God in one body through the cross. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, verse 14 says. And by abolishing the old law through His blood, both groups are now one in Christ. And this has created peace, not only between those individuals and God, but peace between these two groups of people. Some folks, I believe, are desperately hungry for peace in their life. They want it so bad, but they don't know how to get it. I hope to point to some scriptures in this lesson that I think we can all benefit from in understanding the kind of peace that God wants for each one of us. So I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. I believe an internal peace is a result of our relationship with God. If you are lacking peace in your life, perhaps you need to more closely examine your spiritual relationship with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 is a fairly simple verse. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the same principle we just looked at in Ephesians chapter 2. When we have been justified, cleansed, considered righteous by God's grace, it is then that we have peace with God. Certainly, this speaks of the condition of our soul. A person who has never entered a saved relationship in Christ, or a person who has perhaps stopped walking in the light of God, neither of these are going to experience a proper internal peace as I believe God desires. Their conscience will plague them with guilt. They will always be looking back to a point when they believed they were right with God. Or they'll be looking back to a point in their life when they said, I should have obeyed the gospel back then. I knew it. I just didn't do it. The first step of internal peace in our own heart is to be justified by an obedient faith unto God. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16 and in verse 33, as we see this principle reiterated in many places in Scripture. John 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." In Jesus we can find the peace that so many people are looking for. Scripture tells us how a person gets in Christ, as this passage talks about, being in Him. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 4 says we are buried with Him in baptism. We need to be in Christ. That's part of the process of being justified in His sight. Look also with me at Romans chapter 14 and in verse 17. In Romans 14 and 17, I find a very interesting passage in my estimation. Romans 14 and verse 17, it says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, the context that this is embedded in is talking about some who were binding their opinion on others that we should not eat meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. That's why he says at the beginning of this passage that the kingdom is not eating and drinking. They were missing the point in making these opinions bound on others. That's not what you should be doing. However, what I want you to look at is the positive attributes that he states about what the kingdom is. And among those, he says, the kingdom is peace. Have you ever thought of the kingdom in that way? Peace is more than a feeling. Peace is a state of being, as is joy. Neither are a result of external circumstances, but they are a state of mind in which we choose to live. Just like a person can choose to be happy or mad, we can also choose to live in such a way that there's peace in our heart. The kingdom of God is peace. So again, if you feel like your life is in turmoil, and you're struggling to keep your head above water, perhaps you don't have any kind of internal peace, I would encourage you to consider again these passages that would point to our spiritual relationship with God. Jesus is our peace. Scripture goes on to indicate, though, that there are some interesting results when we are at peace with God. Turn with me again to John chapter 14. And in verse 27, John 14 and verse 27, Jesus here says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The context of this reading is Jesus speaking to the apostles. He was promising them the coming of the Holy Spirit. The peace of Christ was given to the apostles. That's the context. I believe this is the same peace we are given when we are obedient to God's will. Look at the result of Christ's peace in our life. It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The word that's translated troubled in this place, according to Mr. Strong's, means to stir or agitate, to roil, as in water. The word translated fearful The King James there says, nor let it be afraid. That word at the end of the passage means to be timid in the Greek. I really like the Greek imagery that's translated troubled in this place. Don't let your heart be troubled. It reminds me of occasions when my life seems to be boiling, as I feel as if I'm just being kind of carried along with the currents of life and there's no peace at all. I'm going from one problem to the next problem. My mind in those instances is uneasy. I'm agitated. I frequently return to dwell upon the same thoughts regarding my troubles. Can you relate? Look at the passage again. Do not let your heart be troubled. It's a choice. Rather than be troubled, we must depend upon God and put our trust in Him, in the salvation that He's promised us. That is the peace of Christ that God desires for each one of us. As I said, I firmly believe that internal peace is a result of our relationship with God. For example, in Galatians 5 and 22, peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit that is growing within us, that should be evidenced in those who are the children of God. Therefore, if we are not at peace, again, we must examine our relationship with God. Perhaps we have failed to trust Him as we ought. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and let's begin in verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. Scripture reads in this place that the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Mr. Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, on this word translated peace in this passage, he says this means the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. That's the kind of peace that Scripture is talking about. It's that inner stability that allows us to survive all of the problems that come along in life. When our mind is focused, when our mind is set on the Spirit rather than on the flesh, then we receive a result of spiritual life and peace with God as well as this inner peace, a contentment that we find in this life. Look at another passage with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. In concluding this second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul writes, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." The King James in this place reads that the Lord give you peace always by all means. Mr. Strong's in his definitions of the Greek words in this place, where it says that He give you peace always by all means. This last word in the Greek here, this by all means, that means a mode or a style. A mode or a style. The New King James reads it this way, that He give you peace always in every way. The Revised Standard Version says that He give you peace at all times in all ways. The Contemporary English Version says that He will always bless you with peace. So we can see, just in looking at a few of the translations, that some give no indication of the Greek being a mode or a style, and some translations do, always, every ways, every circumstance. Paul is wishing for the Thessalonians that God would allow them to lead a tranquil life rather than a life of suffering. Now bear with me just a minute here. I want to review very quick what's been going on in these two letters. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, Paul writes to them saying that they had received the word in much tribulation. In chapter 2 and verse 14, he says they endured suffering by their countrymen. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and beginning in verse 3, it records Paul encouraging them because of the foretold sufferings and the afflictions that had taken place. When he writes to them the second letter, in chapter 1 and verse 4, he speaks of telling other congregations about the Thessalonians and their perseverance and faith in the midst of the persecutions and afflictions which they were enduring. The church in Thessalonica was strong, and they were faithful despite the problems that they were having to live through. Paul wants them to live in peace, and he prays that God will bring this about in every way, through many modes, or in every circumstance. I believe we are correct to read this in application to ourselves. If we are living faithful, overcoming temptations, enduring afflictions without wavering at all, then a resultant peace will come to us. The inner peace at the core of our being and thinking develops and serves as a foundation upon which everything else is built. When our relationship with God is assured and our soul is at peace with Him, it is much easier to deal with the hardships that come upon us in this life. The spiritual inner peace of the righteous soul will lead to peace in regards to other relationships. And Scripture tells us about that also. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 14. This internal peace of God is going to affect our attitude toward others. In Hebrews 12 and in verse 14, it says, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 teaches the same principle of the idea that peace has to be pursued. If you're an underliner, that might be something you want to look at there. Pursue peace. You see, peace doesn't just happen on its own. It has to be pursued. We have to be active and put forth effort to achieve and maintain peace. Too often, I fear we're not as watchful to maintain the peace as we ought, and therefore problems arise that could be avoided. Pursuing peace speaks of the timing in which we deal with potential problems. Pursuing peace speaks of the manner in which we relate with each other. All Christians are supposed to be those who are pursuing peace. We're not supposed to be those who are stirring up strife. Our text says we're to pursue this peace with all men. This has application with fellow saints within a congregation and with fellow saints in other congregations. We should pursue peace in our marriage. We should pursue peace in our work relationships. We should pursue peace within our families, maybe adult siblings. Again, the reason we pursue peace with all men is because God's peace dwells within us. Jehovah is the God of peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He makes peace possible within our lives. And as we imitate the Son, we must imitate His pursuit of peace in all of our relationships. A few other passages that teach this same principle quickly. In Romans 14 and in verse 19, it says, "Pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." Certainly that text is talking about the peace in the relationships we have as brethren. But it's something we have to pursue. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13, it says to live in peace with one another. Then we get to Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. a simple verse. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. As individuals, we are to pursue peace, but peace is a two-way street. I cannot create peace with the other person if they do not desire it. It is more likely that peace will result in all of our relationships when we are pursuing peace. Ephesians 4 and verse 3 says we're to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is the glue that holds all of us together as brethren. And we're to be diligent to preserve that unity. That's how important God says this peace is in our relationships with others. However, God has not promised us peace with others. Look at an example of this in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 34. Matthew 10 and 34. Jesus says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household." God has not promised us peace in our other relationships. In a sense, Jesus has brought this sword, and that some are going to oppose you and I because we choose to stand with Christ. Even families are going to be torn apart because of belief in Jesus. But that should not surprise us. Look a few verses earlier in this same chapter in verse 24. Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of the household?" If they're going to hate and despise Christ, we shouldn't be surprised that they're going to hate and despise you and I. God has not promised us peace in all of our relationships. We are to pursue peace, but that won't always happen. When we're living in a righteous relationship as a child of God, I do believe the inner peace that comes from that relationship will affect all of our other relationships. But we're not guaranteed peace. Well, how then do we get this peace of God to grow within us? I want to look at two passages with you in this regard. The first is in Philippians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4, begin reading with me in verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I see two main thoughts in this reference that I want you to take with you today on how I can get the peace of God to grow within me. First of all, we must pray to God, casting our cares upon Him. As we mature in our understanding of God's will and in the implementation of His will in our life, we have to come to trust Him more and more. And rather than trying to be anxious about everything, trying to fix everything ourselves, we have to turn things over to God. The more we trust Him, and the more we depend upon Him, the more His peace will grow within us. If as a Christian that inner peace we should have is not present in your life, I would urge you to consider this passage many times. Study it in depth. We must be a prayerful people. James tells us that you do not have because you do not ask in James 4 and verse 4. The context that James is speaking of was dealing with quarrels that existed amongst the brethren and the pursuit of their own lusts. When all we're doing is trying to handle things ourselves, we're going to generally make a mess of things. At least that's the way it is in my life. We have to cast our cares upon Him, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. When we have this proper prayerful attitude, look at the passage again. The result of that is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's going to protect our hearts and minds. It's going to guard us. We're going to be wrapped up on the inside with this peace of God that's going to be this inner strength for us, that protects us from all the junk that goes on in the world. A second avenue that I see in this passage through which we can grow in our peace is revealed in verses 8 and 9. What are you thinking about? Those who are anxious for everything allow their minds to dwell on their problems. We mull things over. We agitate our minds with potential outcomes, and we struggle on those occasions to think of anything else. But our mind just keeps going back to that problem, doesn't it? Paul gives us a great list of the types of things we are to dwell on. And if we want the God of peace to be with us, we have to practice the things that Paul is telling us here. And I believe in this way our inner peace can grow. The last point here is simple in Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The emphasis I can't help but see in this passage is the word let. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Allow it to rule. Choose to have the peace of God in your heart. We have to give ourselves completely to Him. Our commitment must be full. His ways must rule in our lives. And to the extent that we are not allowing Christ and God's ways to rule in our heart, then we're not going to have the peace that's the result of having those rules within us. So Christ's peace in our heart becomes that stabilizing center of our being. Let me see if I can bring the lesson to a close at this point. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Have you ever stopped to consider the significance of that simple phrase, three words, "Peace be with you"? He says it three times to the disciples in John chapter 20. After His resurrection, peace be with you. Jesus desires that we be at peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, and have a sense of peace within us. I truly believe this. One last passage I'd like you to read with me this morning is in John chapter 15 and beginning in verse 7. John chapter 15 and in verse 7. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now look at verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." I love verse 11. God wants my joy to be full. And I can have the joy of Christ in me. And so can you.
My name is Charles Willis, and I preach for the New Caney Church of Christ. If you have any questions about this message or any questions about the Bible, please contact me. We would love to meet you at one of our assemblies and hope that you will visit soon. If you are interested in more listening material or written material, please visit our website, newcaneychurchofchrist.org.